Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today, the interview is with Senator Adam Hollier. He is the senator for the 2nd Congressional District, one of the places, Detroit, Michigan. Mr. Hollier is going to be talking about things that he's been doing for Detroit, Michigan. And also I'm going to ask him about Haiti, the people in Texas who are being did so horribly wrong in Haiti. How are you doing, Ms. Hollier?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. So I see that you had you were going to make some things legal. Some form of plant.
Yeah, I'm working on some decriminalization legislation with one of my colleagues, Jeff Irwin, senator out of Ann Arbor. I think by and large, there are too many things that we criminalize that don't impact anyone else, and that those often become tools to negatively impact people of color and poor people. And so by decriminalizing some of these things, it's one less thing for someone to have to engage with the criminal legal system about, and allows us to focus our criminal justice resources on people who are committing violent crime, particularly around, you know, trafficking of humans, around murder, around assault, like the kind of things that we want the police focusing on and the justice system, not things that people do in the privacy of their home that are no different and certainly no more harmful than alcohol.
Yes, sir, I understand that. And I've long believed that there were certain drugs and plants that should have been made legal that people shouldn't be criminalized for it, and that it was wrong to criminalize certain plants and certain types of things that were considered illegal drugs. I'm glad to see that you are decriminalizing some things. Would you like to talk about which ones?
Well, so the legislation, I think, is just hopefully just the beginning of a larger discussion around what should be criminal and what should not be. So over the last year, there's been a lot of discussion about how the police respond when they're called and when they're out on the ground. I think even more of that discussion in those pieces should be about what is an appropriate thing to call the police about. And by decriminalizing, psychedelic drugs, which is, you know, your magic mushrooms and some of the other things, it makes it a little bit safer for everyone, because those are things that can be done safely, that can be prescribed by medical professionals, and that we can start to do research and learn more about. The issue is not about drugs. It's about how drug policies impact communities, particularly communities of color, and the level of over-policing that comes about from them, and the disparity in impact when somebody gets arrested with some small amount of these things. For the better part of 2 or 3 decades, people getting a possession charge of marijuana could ruin their lives. And so you have all these other things that is the case for. And what we should be focused on is how do we make sure that people have safe communities where they can, you know, live and grow and do those kind of things.
So magic mushrooms is one of them, decriminalization of magic mushrooms that you introduced, Irwin, a Democrat in Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Irwin, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And psychedelic, you're legalized entheogenic plants. I hope I said it right.
Again, the details are not as important as the belief system. And what we believe and what we're working on is trying to make sure that the criminal justice system is focused on the things that are causing danger to you and I and your neighbors. And these kind of things are not. So,
yes, sir.
You know, it's moving us in that same space. And I think there are a number of other things that we should be working to decriminalize, not because crimes are bad, just because there's so many more things that are illegal now than were 40 years ago, 60 years ago, 80 years ago, 100 years ago, that just don't make a big impact in the people's lives, right? So when prohibition moved about, you know, throughout the country, what did it lead to? It led to a historic, you know, underground of gangs and gangsters who, you know, were bootlegging liquor, right? Illegal things that people are going to use create organized crime networks that are going to victimize people, that are going to involve violence, that are going to involve significant amount of cash, or in this day and age, cryptocurrency and things like that. And so by decriminalizing some of those things, it makes it safer for all of us to live in this country.
Yes. All right. I understand what you're saying. You're doing a good thing, but you know that. You're doing a great thing. As a matter of fact, a great thing. So I'd like to talk to you about the Haitian migrants and the things they're experiencing at the border and how horrific it is, the things that they're going through. Do you have anything to say about that?
Just that I think it's unacceptable the way United States foreign policy has been used to negatively impact particularly immigrants of color that are coming to the U.S. based on their refugee status for a variety of reasons, right? If anybody deserves refugee status, it is people who have been beset by not one but two, you know, really significant events, being a substantial earthquake, but also, you know, an attempted coup and the assassination of a sitting president in their own home. Like, that, Haiti's got a lot of issues. And as somebody who's, you know, college roommates are Haitian and first generation U.S. citizens, it's important that we remember as a nation, so much of our foundation is based on people coming here for better opportunities and creating those better opportunities here. And it was appalling to see Border Patrol agents mounted on horseback with whips, corralling people, you know, whether they were, you know, black or white or any of those kind of things was not the important part. The part was that people should not be treated that way. It was especially unacceptable because black people in this country and coming to this country have been treated that way for, you know, almost 300 years. And so it's really important that as a nation we understand the symbolism of our actions, but also the historic context of which our actions will be perceived and viewed and measured. And what we saw was completely unacceptable, and we should not tolerate it. And it's just not okay.
No, sir, it isn't. And thank you for saying that and speaking strongly out against what is going on in Texas.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people who think that because it's going on in Texas, that that's not our problem, that, you know, that's a border state problem. But Michigan is a border state as well. You know, we do not treat people who come into the U.S. from the Canadian border in a similar fashion. And people do. And that's not okay. It is not okay. It is not acceptable to act like it is a border state issue. It just happens to be that Texas is on the border. It's got nothing to do with those. People are coming into America, and we all have an obligation to treat them the way Americans would like them to be treated, not the way Texans or the people on the border would like to be treated, but the way we as a nation believe that people coming to this country should be treated.
Okay. All right. Yes, black people get the worst end of everything. When America gets a cold, America gets pneumonia. People get pneumonia. So you've also talked about, I'm reading online, of course, the Senate passage of the FY22 budget, applauds investment of Detroit-based causes. One of the things that it addressed was disparities in health care. Has that bill passed? Did the Republicans and the Democrats, were they able to get that passed?
So it passed both chambers of the legislature this week. It'll go to the governor for signature, and she's expected to sign it either Tuesday or Wednesday. And it was a bipartisan thing. You know, the overwhelming majority of Republicans and Democrats signed, or, you know, in the legislature voted to make it happen, because it was historic investments in higher ed, in child care, just across the board. It was a really good budget that is going to make sure that the citizens of Michigan are better off than they were, especially at a time where government is needed so much.
Okay. So some of it would be $1.5 million for the Goodwill Industries Flip the Script program in Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million for Focus Hope, a Detroit-based nonprofit dedicated to overcoming racism and poverty through education and training services for minority residents. $1 million for the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. $750,000 for the Motown Museum in Detroit. $500,000 for the Invest Detroit Loan Financing Program. $250,000 for the JROTC program, Detroit Public Schools Community District, abbreviated DPSCD. $150,000 for Wayne State University's National De-Escalation Training Center. So
yep.
That's wonderful for the state of Michigan. I wish they could do that for all of the United States.
Wow. I'm glad that Michigan is leading the way and looking forward to more success across the country.
Yes, sir. Here in the United States, do you think any such bill will pass through the party?
I'm very excited about the work that Democrats are pushing at the federal level through Congress. Some of the things that we were able to do were only possible because of the stimulus and the American Rescue Plan Act that passed through President Biden and through both chambers of Congress. So I think as a nation, we are moving in the right direction. We just got to keep, keep the foot to the pedal and keep moving on these kind of things, because there's a lot of work left to be done.
I know it's on Reuters.com. It's dated September 24, 2021. It says Biden says there will be consequences over Haiti migrants' treatment. So he's taking a strong stand.
And I'm glad he is.
That's right. I saw Miss Maxine Walters on television. She says worst things she's seen since slavery.
It was wildly unacceptable, and I'm glad that people are in a position to speak up, and I know that that's what's going to happen.
Okay. Yes. So, what else are you doing? What's your future for Detroit, Michigan, and the other cities within your district?
We're continuing to work really hard to fund the kind of programs that have positive impact on neighborhoods and community. I've been working on trying to make jury trials a little bit more fair. And as we look out into the next month, there are a lot of big problems that need to be dealt with, particularly around, the housing shortage and the housing crises that we see around affordability and just valuation, right? So, it's been very publicized over the last few months and even the last, decade that Black people's homes are being appraised at different values than white people's home, which has a significant impact on people's ability to accrue wealth, but also their ability to move to different communities or stay in different communities and access the resources necessary to reinvest in their own neighborhoods and communities. So working on those kind of things and just in a broader space, trying to make sure that we spend the rest of the federal dollars that Michigan got.
I know one thing. I tell myself that it keeps my taxes low on the value of my property. But it's been like that since I've been a homeowner almost the last 20 years, and I'm 51, so I don't see anything changing. I try to cheer myself up by telling myself that.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to make some impact on that over the next year.
Well, I just tell myself it keeps my taxes low and try not to worry about it. Because the other houses are valued at around the same price, so I try not to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tell myself be grateful to have a roof over your head. So you're also doing some other things are going on. You announced President Biden had announced a new requirement for government employees to get vaccinated or submit to frequent tests for COVID-19. There are some people against that. How do you feel about that?
I think it's really important that every single person get vaccinated, and I appreciate that President Biden has been leading. And I look forward to more commitments on folks getting vaccinated. We know that people are more likely to get vaccinated if they have to do so for work. and it'll make everybody safer. That's the only way we're going to get out of this public health crisis and this pandemic is by people getting vaccinated.
Okay. All right. So keep kids in school. Democratic lawmakers propose expulsion prevention legislation. Lansing, Michigan, September 16, 2021. What's that about, sir?
Well, as you know, and it's been documented in a variety of spaces that black boys particularly are punished at disproportionate rates, particularly with in-school suspensions. And most disciplinary processes are increasing over time, right? So you get a in-school suspension, then you get a out-of-school suspension, or you have progressive discipline. But we also have a significant amount of places where there's zero tolerance on these on a variety of issues. But the way that those zero tolerance policies are implemented are not equitable, they're not fair, and they don't require the level of transparency that we think is necessary. And so I'm a part of a package with Senator Irwin and Senator Geis to make those things more transparent and more clear so that discipline is done more effectively, but also to ensure that students are in school more often and are not being expelled or excluded from school for arbitrary things, and that justice and discipline is done equitable across the board.
Yes, black children are expelled more in school suspension and out of school suspension. Discrimination is alive and well. That's all I can say. It's alive and well. So it's a great thing that you're doing, you and other people. I applaud you for everything. You're a young man and a senator that's doing great.
Thank you.
You're doing good things, making big steps. You think you'll ever run for president?
I think running for president is all about being the best and being there at the right time. So there's a lot of things that would need to happen between where I am and where I'm going. But I hope that one day people would like me to continue to have more opportunities for responsibility and to make an impact.